Welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. Comedian and political commentator Bill Maher is coming to Sioux Falls. He's bringing his stand-up tour to the Washington Pavilion on Sunday, September 13th. The New York native has been the host of HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher since 2003. Previously, he hosted a similar late-night show called Politically Incorrect for 9 years. He's famous for his hard-hitting jabs and left-leaning commentary. He's been performing stand-up since 1979. I spoke with him last week and asked him how his stand-up act differs from what people see on Real Time.
I think if they've never seen my stand-up show, what they will be familiar to them is the kind of topics I'm interested in. I've never been a comedian who was interested in the trivial. I've always wanted to talk about what's going on in the country and the world and religion and, you know, big stuff is what I'm, that's my beat. But stand-up is so different. You know, the show, the TV show, is a hybrid of serious and funny. But stand-up is really just to make people laugh their guts out and have their face hurt when they leave.
But at the same time, are you still covering the same topics, but maybe in a different way?
Well, I would just say it's more pure. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if I don't have a great joke to make people bust a gut, then it doesn't belong in stand-up comedy. That's what the stand-up comedy art form is. You're not a humorist. You're not a lecturer. This isn't a TED Talk. You're a comedian, in my case, one who's been doing this a long time. And I mean, I wouldn't do it unless I loved doing that. I love watching people in the first few rows just, you know, melt, just dissolve, just make them laugh really, really hard. That's what I love to do.
So you still love getting out on the road and doing that stand-up, coming to places like Sioux Falls?
Well, I requested Sioux Falls. Every year I make a list of places for my agent to try to book me. And a real kick is to go places I've never been, places I'm not expected to go. One thing I've found traveling this country as much as I do is that there are people who think like me everywhere, and they're so excited, besides the fact that they're going to laugh, to look around a room in a theater and think, wow, I didn't know there was 2,000 people around here who thought like this. Because I go to, you know, I go to Alabama, I go to Mississippi, I go everywhere. Places where you would not expect someone with, shall we say, free-thinking ideas to show up.
Do you also try to appeal in some way to people that don't think like you?
Nope, not at all.
I
only say, always have only said what I truly believe. I do that on the show, and I do that in my stand-up. I think that is always has been the bond with the television audience, and I hope the stand-up audience, too, is that I never pull a punch. And that includes pissing off liberals frequently. I'm a proud liberal, but I think liberals are sometimes very, very wrong about stuff. And I think, unlike almost everybody else who's liberal on television, who are afraid to confront their tribe, I will do it if I think the liberals are wrong, and I will take the booze, and I don't care, and I'm always happy when I've actually turned people around on something, because sometimes liberals do need to be turned around on it. But no, I'm not going to pander and say things I don't believe. But what I found is that people respect you for saying what you do believe, even if they don't always agree.
I guess rather than pandering, what I was trying to get at was perhaps being yourself, being Bill Maher, saying what you believe in, but yet also finding a way that appeals to those people that don't agree with you, that they'll come and watch you with an open mind with what you have to say.
Yeah, I think those people are in the audience. I think they do show up. But I don't want to mislead. I mean, look, a lot of the show is making fun of Republicans, because Republicans in this era are hysterical. I mean, they have 17 candidates right now, and their leader is Donald Trump. And they don't really attack problems. They attack imaginary problems. The Democrats are no prize, but at least they're trying to find cures for things that actually plague America, like health care and global warming, whereas the Republicans are talking about Benghazi and Hillary's emails and death panels, and it's always something that's completely imaginary. So let's not kid ourselves. When you have 20 years of people like George Bush and then Sarah Palin and then Ted Cruz and now Donald Trump, they're a fountain of comedic material.
Talking about Donald Trump, have you been surprised at how his presidential campaign has evolved and how it's become the focus?
I think everyone is. I think everyone is very surprised. I will say this, when everybody else was saying that Donald Trump was not serious about running for president, I never said that. I always said from the beginning, this guy is going to really make a run someday, because an ego that big can only be contained by a run for president. So everybody else was saying, oh no, it's just a publicity stunt to drum up ratings for his TV show or sell a book or whatever. No, I never thought that. As you say, we're all surprised that that he's so successful, but perhaps we shouldn't be, because Trump is really just the greatest hits of the Republican Party. I mean, I don't think he's saying anything that's terribly new. Me build big wall was a staple of what they were saying in 2012. Herman Cain offered to put a machine gun nest on top of it, as I recall, or electrify it, or some crazy thing like that. So to take the leap to Ben Carson saying, and I would put drones on the border, is not that big. If you're selling racism and xenophobia, you're going to have customers. It's a good product for that.
Now, commentators seem to still keep saying that that they're certain his campaign will collapse. Do you agree with that?
No, I don't think it'll collapse. I think at some point people are going to tire of seeing anybody on television. Even if they're a gentle personality, which he certainly is not, they tire of them after a certain amount of oversaturation, and we are certainly being saturated with Donald Trump. I mean, he reminds me of Berlusconi in Italy when he took over that country as the richest man, who was also the guy who owned the airwaves and a lot of the big media companies. And that's what it looks like with Donald Trump. It's just 24/7 Trump, Trump, Trump. I think it's going to wear thin after a while. But I don't think he's going to go away, and I think he's going to be a factor. At the end of the day, are the Republicans going to nominate him? That's the great question, because can he turn the enthusiasm he's drummed up into actual votes? We'll see. But I wouldn't bet against this guy at all. I haven't so far. And he sued me. I'm one of the people he's actually sued.
So are there any Republican candidates that can capture some of that enthusiasm, that whatever it is that he's getting from the people, the political landscape? He's drawing on something. He's finding something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of it is personality. A lot of it, look, here's the part that I like about Donald Trump, where I relate, where he and I are kind of alike. I mean, he keeps talking about the world is too politically correct. Well, who's the guy who did a show called Politically Incorrect for 9 years in the 90s? That was me. I've been screaming about we have too much political correctness for my entire career. So I get it, that it is very appealing to finally have someone in the political arena who, when he says something that somebody somewhere doesn't like, doesn't immediately walk it back, deny it, say he's sorry, oh, I can't believe I said that, you're right, I misspoke. This guy never misspeaks, at least in his mind. Everything he says, he not only stands behind, he doubles down. Oh yeah, Megyn Kelly owes me an apology. And in a country that has been drowning in political correct BS for the last 20, 25 years, that is very refreshing. So in a way, Trump and I are like the detective and the serial killer who says, detective, we're not so different, you and I.
Well, moving from the Republicans, there aren't quite as many Democrats, but are there any of the possible Democratic presidential candidates that you find encouraging in any way?
Well, I think it's very encouraging that Bernie Sanders has aroused the kind of enthusiasm and the size of the crowds he has. That's awesome, because obviously it's not the same situation as Trump. It's not because Bernie Sanders is some sort of wildly charismatic, interesting guy. It's because he's got the right message, because he's talking about income inequality and what's going on in this country being taken over by billionaires. So I think that's a great forward development for our democracy. It's pushing Hillary Clinton to the left, which is good, because Hillary Clinton needs to be pushed to the left. It would be great if we had a Democratic Party like the Democratic Democratic Party used to be at one point, which was more of a left party instead of a center party. Some would even say a center-right party, as the Republican Party has become a far-right party. If I had to bet my own money on who's going to be taking that oath of office in January 2017, I would say it's going to be Hillary Clinton. She's going to have to go through all the things she's always had to go through, the crazy attacks, the made-up scandals. But at the end of the day, she's undoubtedly going to get the nomination. I don't think that's going to go away. And I would guess this country, just because of the pent-up thirst to elect a woman president, something 80 countries have already done, but not us. And she's, of course, capable. I mean, she's never been my favorite. I always say that her slogan, "Are you ready for Hillary?" exactly describes how I feel about Hillary. Are you ready for Hillary? Yes, I'm ready. Are you enthused? No, but I'm ready. It's like when you get a shot. Are you ready? Yes, I'm ready. Go ahead. Put it in.
You're listening to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. My guest is Bill Maher. He's bringing his stand-up tour to Sioux Falls, the Washington Pavilion, on September 13th. Have you always had this interest in current affairs? Is this something you grew up with?
You know what? It actually is, Carl. My father was a news guy. My father was a radio news guy in the old days when AM radio had news at the top of the hour on every station. That was, it may have even been a law, but it was certainly de rigueur in the radio industry that 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 o'clock, bing bong, and the news for 5 minutes. Even on WABC New York, Cousin Brucey, the radio rock radio station I listened to as a kid, damn, they have to interrupt for this stupid news. But that's what Dad did for a living. So unlike, I think, a lot of American households, news was discussed in my household. I was too young when I heard it going on at first, but over time it seeps in, and then you become interested in it. So it was probably inevitable I was going to do what I do because my father was funny, and he was a news guy. And so I wish he had lived to see me become a guy who was funny about the news, because it was really an outgrowth of what I saw in my house.
You find the news funny. You find the humor in what's going on in some rather awful things sometimes. What's your view on the political landscape when you look at our government today? Do you see hope? Do you find things that are encouraging?
It's hard. I mean, it's hard to find encouragement because the problems that we have, most of them, I think, arise from the fact that, as many people have pointed out, we really have an oligarchy anymore. The people who are, by the way, a lot to blame themselves because they don't vote and they don't know what the hell's going on. They're very ill-informed. They're very apathetic. I don't buy the excuse that they're turned off because they've been lied to, blah, blah, blah. Please, it's a democracy. You got a reflection of yourself. We should be better. The leaders stink because the people stink. So, you know, are we going to solve income inequality? It's hard to see when we have an election where certainly on the Republican side and to a degree also on the Democratic side, the candidates aren't beholden to the people. They're beholden to their donors. We see that reflected in their policies all the time. They're trying to please Sheldon Adelson and the Koch brothers. They're not trying to please the voters. They can buy the voters with the money they get from the donors to create false advertising. And then the other issue that I think is probably the one that's going to do us all in, which is environmental damage, climate change, global warming, the death of the oceans, all of that stuff, killing off all the species on the planet. That, I think, is something that we should have addressed 10, 20, 30 years ago and really haven't to any serious degree. And when I see people in Beijing and New Delhi who have to walk outside with masks on and they're still not getting rid of their coal-fired plants, I say to myself, what is going on with humanity? That when you can't even breathe, you don't change the way you're doing business. You just put on a mask and try to adapt. Last year, I read in the Washington Post, 1.6 million people in China died from bad air. You know what? If Mother Nature had connections to terrorism, and 1.6 million people died. I have a feeling we'd be doing something a little more than we're doing, probably bombing.
That's comedian and political commentator Bill Maher. I spoke with him last week. He's performing his stand-up act in Sioux Falls Sunday, September 13th at the Washington Pavilion. For more information, you can visit washingtonpavilion.org.